Amen. 21 and verse 20. Serena, are you there?
Yes.
All right.
With it, sardonic, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst.
All right, let's just look at these for a minute. The fifth is sardonyx. All right, sardonyx. Or onyx comes from that word, onyx. All right, onyx. All right. And it's this onyx is a white with alternate reddish flesh-colored layers. All right, that's the foundation here. And then it says the hectos. The sixth is carnelian, and that is a flesh-colored stone. What's it say?
S-A-R-D-I-U-S.
Sardion? Yeah, sardion. Sardion. But it is a reddish color, carnelian, or reddish color. The modern term for that is carnelian. It's sardis, all right, but that's the modern term. Some of these terms that you see here have been changed. The stones, they have different names. Onyx today is what color? Huh? Black. It's not a reddish flesh colored, almost like the color of a rainbow in it, okay? That's what it was back then. Now onyx is black, okay? So here we have sardonyx, and then we have sardion, all right, which is carnelian, and then we have the seventh is chrysolite. And that's the modern, it's a gold-colored stone, it's amber-colored, or topaz, okay? Now, just remember that this is the foundations of the city of God. It's just beauty is what it is. It's beautiful. Every color that God created all colors, didn't he? All right. And the eighth is beryl. And beryl is a sea-colored, sea-green-colored, okay? And the ninth is topaz. All right, topaz, and it's a yellowish color, and it's different from the modern topaz. All right, this old topaz color is a yellowish color, and it's different. All right, the modern topaz word for topaz is not the same color. You have to remember that in history, some words have changed, okay, and the colors of the stones have. And then decatos, that means a tent, deca. Tent, chrysophrase, chrysos, and proson, it means a golden green color. The color like a leek, the top of a leek. It's kind of like an onion. You know, that's what they grew down in Egypt. That's what the children of Israel were crying for, was the leeks. All right. It's kind of a greenish quartz. And the 11th, jacinth, and that is lavender. All right. Jacinth is lavender. It's here. It's hyacinthos, or jacinth. And the 12th, duodeca. Duo means two, and deca means ten. 2 10. That's what it literally says. Or 12. Amethyst. What does amethyst mean? By the way, amethyst is kind of a purplish violet. Okay. But what does amethyst mean? Have you ever heard of methamphetamines? Meth. What? It means not drunk. That's what it means. A long time ago, alcoholics would get a amethyst stone and wear it around their neck because it warded off drunkenness. It helped them to overcome the desire to get drunk. All right? So not drunk, that's what amethyst means. Number 21, one of you young ladies there, you want to read for me? This?
And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
All right. Now we get to the gates of the city. And there are 12 gates, 12 gates. What do you think those 12 gates stand for?
12
tribes of Israel, and the 12 apostles of the Lord, too. 12 and 12. Why do you think there's 12 tribes, and now we have 12 apostles, huh? All right. And the 12 gates... 12 pearls, margarite. That's what it says, Margarita. The word Margaret comes right out of, it means Margarita, means pearl. Okay? Do you have any margaritas in the country where you come from?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. That means pearl. All right, pearl. 12 pearls. Now, what are pearls? What kind of, what colors are pearls? Huh? Oh, there are all kinds of colors. There's the Tahitian pearls, which are black, and all different shades of black. There are white pearls. But every pearl, it, you know that they they used to put, well, they still do. They take real pearl, and they grind it up real fine, and they put it in paint. And I remember the Cadillacs came back, and all in the 1970s and 80s, they had a pearl paint job on the Cadillacs, a white pearl. And we had an Avalon, and I don't know, it was back in the 90s, I guess it was, that Avalon, and it was white pearl. And you could look at it, and it would just see the sheen of this. It was not like metallic, but it's like metallic. You know, you can see it. It's just finer, and it'll just like a rainbow in there. And that's what a pearl is. I remember a long time ago, my sister married this guy that was a body painter and a painter, and he worked for Gene Weiner Cadillac. He did work for it. And he got a Cadillac that had a little dent in it, and on one side they had scraped it, just down one side, so he had to straighten all the dents out in this brand new Cadillac. And then he had to shoot this whole car. They went ahead and shot it all over again, and he got this pearl, and the pearl was very expensive. I can't remember how much for an ounce of this pearl was to put in this paint. And he mixed the paint. He had Diepel's, I think, body shop. They had mixed the paint up for it and everything. He went out there and shot that Cadillac. Beautiful. Beautiful job. He was a great painter. And his little stepson, he also had painted just before that. You know what trunk paint is? It's paint they paint on the inside of trunks. It's kind of a spatter paint. He had painted this cabinet in there. And that boy went out there and rubbed his hands all over that cabinet and then rubbed his hands all over that Cadillac. All the way around that beautiful pearl paint job. Oh, that Cadillac. He got in trouble for that, I think. Anyway, pearl paint job. Pearls. Pearls according to each of the gates is one pearl. Every gate is a single solitary slab of pearl. A single solitary slab of pearl. And it kept on being out of one pearl, it says. And the streets of the city, Crecyon. That's gold. And it was clean like glass. Clean like glass, is transparent. It's three see-through. You know, when you get when you polish up a flat piece of gold, what does it turn into? What does it turn into?
It
turns into a mirror. A golden mirror. These streets are going to be golden mirrors. It looks like you're seeing through them because it's reflecting everything, and it's all reflecting the glory of God. All reflecting the glory of God. 22 now. 22, Brother John.
And I saw no temple in it for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb for its temple.
All right. Saw no temple in it. No, no holy place. Kadesh HaKadoshim. This is the Kadesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. That's where the throne of God is. This Holy of Holies in here was the throne of God. That's where God's throne was, and above that was the Shekinah glory at night. At nighttime, it would be a pillar of fire, and in the daytime, it would be a pillar of smoke. All right? But it said there's no Holy of Holies here. All right? I saw in her, literally, it's actually the city is feminine. Okay? The city is feminine. In her, for the Lord, the God, Jehovah Elohim. That's how you would say this, Jehovah Elohim. The Pantocrator is what it says in Greek, but in Hebrew it would be El Shaddai. All right? In Hebrew it would be El Shaddai, which means the all-powerful one. Now we have Jehovah Elohim, we have El Shaddai, and who is all of these? Who is it? It's the Lamb, it's Jesus. All right? It says, and the dwelling place, the holy place of it, of her, is the Lamb. All right? The Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, isn't he? He is the all-powerful God. All right? He set aside his great power while he was on this earth the first time to be the Redeemer. But that didn't mean he wasn't. He said, I can call 10,000 legions of angels. He could wipe out the whole earth and change everything when he walked on it as a man. But that wasn't his plan. See, God has a plan of the ages. All right? That wasn't his plan at that time. Surely, number 23.
And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine. In it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light.
Now, the idea you need to understand here we've got a city of golden mirrors. We've got foundations of the city that are the colors of the rainbow, every shade that you can think of. The foundation of the city, we have just mirror streets, mirrors of gold. All right? This is all reflecting the glory of God. That's the purpose of it. It's reflecting the glory of God. And the city, not need, it has of the helios, of the sun. All right? For she has, or the moon, in her, they don't need to shine, for the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, is what lights up her city or the Lamb. And it is the Lamb of God. From Him comes forth all of the glory. 21 verse 24, Brother David.
Nations are those who are saved to walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
All right. It says, and the nations shall walk about by the light of her. All right? The nations shall walk about by the light of her. Down in the kingdom age, now, New Jerusalem is going to be above the earth, and it's going to be the light of the earth. All right? And it says, the nations shall bring the what? The kings of the nations shall bring what? Okay, now what is that? Offerings. Even in this age, there will be offerings. Offerings. What do you do to give an offering to God anyway? Why do you give an offering to God? The tithe is His. That's His, period. Okay. So why do you give offerings to the Lord?
To honor Him.
To show Him that He's the King of your life. Simple as that. Show Him His kingdom. They can bring offerings in even in the millennial age and in the eternal age. They're still going to be tithing. They're still going to be bringing offerings to the Lord.
So how are we going to earn those?
How do you earn it today?
You work.
How do you earn it today? God gives you the ability to work. We think about us doing everything we have. I'll tell you what, you could be a quadriplegic now. I could be very easily. I mean, I've been banged up so much in my life, it's a wonder I'm here teaching tonight. But it's by the grace of God and by His kindness that I am here. It's by His kindness that anybody goes out and does anything. If you work hard or whether you do studious work of some sort, management work, whatever, it's a gift of God. That's all. All you do is give something back to Him. All right? For allowing you to do what you're doing. Because... Oh, yeah, we're going to have perfect bodies.
But, you know, a lot of people think you're just going to float on a cloud.
We're going to be doing something. We're going to be busy. Okay? Busy. And it says, and the kings of the earth, they shall bring the glory of them into her. 25, Adrian. 25.
On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there.
All right. No, none of the gates are going to be shut. Remember back in the Bible days, people went to the cities, and they went into the cities. Okay, at nighttime, there were no farmhouses. Did you know that? In the Bible times, there were no farmhouses. They didn't have farmhouses. Did you know that, Brother Dan? They didn't have any farmhouses. They didn't have farmhouses. Everybody went from the city, and around the city there was farm plots. Different families had plots, but you went to the city at nighttime because that's where you were protected from the wild animals and everything else. You stayed out there, you were at danger. Criminals might be wandering around or whatever else. Okay? But you went back to the city at night, and they locked the gates of the city. So you only went out in daylight, from daylight to dark. If you came up there, you could holler up to the guards. They had guards on the cities, whatever. And they'd holler up there, and they'd say, let me in, I'm so-and-so, I'm Farmer John. Okay? And I didn't get back. My cow fell down and broke her leg today or something, you know, and I'm in here late. And they would let you in, okay? They would open the gate, and they had a little gate. You couldn't bring your cattle and everything in. You could go in the little gate, okay? All right. And the gates of Hur, they shall not be closed day or night, because the Lord is not going to allow anything to harm us at all. So we don't have to worry about locking your doors. Do you remember, Brother John, was there a time when you didn't have to take the key out of your car? Huh? Yeah. You didn't lock your house? I left the key in my car for years. I left my wallet in my car. I used to leave a rifle in the back of my pickup all the time. I left that rifle, never locked it, and left a rifle in that truck all the time. All the time. I was always, when I would go, I'd go in the mountains and cut wood and everything else. I always had that rifle with me. That rifle still got a worn spot on it, where it sat in those gun racks for years and years and years. It's going to be like that again. Isn't that going to be nice? It's going to be like that again. 26. Serena.
The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it.
All right. The glory and the honor of the nations shall be brought into Hur, that beautiful city. All right. It is Hur. That city is a Hur. All right. She's feminine. All right. She's feminine. Verse number 27, Brother John.
And nothing unclean, and no longer practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life.
All right. It says, a know not may enter in. Know not. No. Now, two no's in English language is not very good. One rules out the other. No. In other words, you just said yes. But in Greek, you can have even three no's in a row. I have seen places where it said, "Uk me udamia," you know. And here it says, "No, not." It's for emphasis. No. He may enter into Hur, any profane worldling. All right? Anyone unholy, common, worldly. And the one making abominations, idolatrous, okay, and a liar, all right, a falsehood, a perjurer, and know not ones not except the ones having their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's all. And when was that book written? What? Yes, the forgiven people, the saved people. That's the only ones going to be in the city is the forgiven, the saved people. Brother John, when was that book written?
Before
anything was ever created. Back in God's eternal plan, back here, He knows who you were. He knows who everyone is. In space and time, in eternity past, God knew who would be saved and who wouldn't be saved. Because God knows all things, doesn't He? All right? And those names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isaiah 52 and verse 1, Ezekiel 44 and verse 9, Zechariah 14:21, and even Revelation 22:14 and 3 and 5 are cross-references to this. Now we're in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. 21 and 22 and verse 1. Young lady, what was your name over here?
Melba.
All right. Could you read that next one for me, please? 22 and verse 1.
Okay. And He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
All right. And He pointed out to me, that's what it literally says, and He pointed, the word index finger is what we get from this. He indicated, indexe, all right, to me the river, the Potomon, all right, hippopotamus comes from this word right here, part of it is hippopotamus. Hippo means horse, and water horse is what it means. River horse. Hippopotamus. The river of water of life. Bright and light. Lamp-like, it says. as crystal. The river will shine. The river is going to shine like it's electrified. Okay? The river will shine like a lamp. The word lamp comes right out of that lamprone right there. It'll shine like a lamp, proceeding, going out of the throne of God. Now, the river of life comes right out of the throne of God. What's the throne of God sitting on? Huh? Okay, but what was the foundation? No, the foundation of the throne of God, remember, it's sapphire. Sapphire. It is a sapphire-colored diamond. It's called a sea of glass. It is a sapphire, polished-colored diamond. Talk about diamonds. We wear diamonds on our fingers and stuff today, and a little diamond here and little diamond earrings and stuff like that. But the throne of God is going to set on a diamond foundation. Oh, talk about, this is beauty. Girls like pretty things. Now, girls are going to like this city. This is the Lord designed this one. I mean, it may be square, but it's going to be pretty. All right? Out of the throne of the God, belonging to the God, and even the Lamb. All right? Even the Lamb. That word chi there, it also can be a cumulative particle, and it means even. The throne of God, even the Lamb. The throne of God, and the Lamb is the God. Okay? Same as 22 and verse 2. Surely.
In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every night. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
All right. And in the middle, the meso of the street, la plateas. See that word plateas there? What is the word plate in Spanish? Plate. Plateau. All right. In the middle of the street, the plateau. That's a flat place, smooth place. All right. Of her again, of the city. She's feminine. Of her, and the river, from out from the tree of life, producing fruits 12. According to each month, all right, giving of the fruit of her and the leaves of the tree, it means for the purpose of the medication of the nations. I think it's like the Word of God heals us, doesn't it? It heals our spirits, our souls. That's what this is about, the healing of the spirit, the healing, spiritual healing of the nations, okay? 22 and verse 3. Barbara, is that your name, Barbara?
Uh-huh. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him.
All right. Now, it's a little bit different in Greek. It said, every curse shall be nullified. Every curse shall be nullified. What curses do we have today? What curses you every day? What? Flies. All right, mosquitoes. That's a curse, flies and mosquitoes. Anybody stepped on a goat head this week? How about a sand burr? How about a stinging nettle? Every curse. No animal's going to be killing each other and eating each other at all right here. It's going to be just like it was before the days of Noah. Animals are going to get along fine. They're going to be companions. Out on the farm, I'll tell you what, I had a little old horse out there, Dakota's little pony. Her name was Peanut. That little pony watched over all the other animals in the farm. If anything was going wrong, she would tell me about it. She would stand there and nicker and look at me until I went and paid attention and find out what's wrong. One time out there, she had a little duck that was out there. Sonny was the duck's name, and Sonny and that pony were always together. And all the other animals gravitated, the cats, the dog, the pig. Everybody went around that pony. And out in the middle of the day, that's really weird, but this is the way it was. Animals cross species of affection to each other. That horse will be walking, and here goes the duck, and here goes the goat. And goats, you know how goats are. They're a pain in the neck. They are. They got a mind of their own. Okay? But the goat loved the horse. All of them were there together. If one was going someplace, all of them single file. And when they'd lay down every day, they'd lay down out there in the daytime, and either in the sun, in the wintertime, and in shade in the summer, and every one of them would be laying there together with their heads on each other. just laying out there. One time, that little duck, I didn't see it. I didn't know where the duck was. And the grass was kind of tall. It was an early spring. And the pony that morning, she just kept nickering at me, kept nickering. I was in a hurry. I was doing something. Some project was going on, and I couldn't stop. And Peanut stood right out there in the middle of that pasture, would not go eat her food. I put her food in the horse trough. She wouldn't go to the food. And when I came back, 2 or 3 hours later, she's still standing out there going, hey, you know. I walked out there, and something had killed the duck. And she was standing over that duck. She wanted me to find, see if I could do something for the duck. If something was wrong with any animal, she was out there just like that. You wouldn't think that animals would care about each other, but they did. That's the way it's going to be here. All the curses are going to be removed. All the curses are going to be removed. 22 and verse 4, Brother John.
And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads.
Boy. And they shall see for themselves the face of him, the face of God. Just think about that. We're going to look upon the face of God. That's kind of spooky right now, isn't it? We got guilt in our hearts and things, and when we think about being around God, when the Lord told him to, come here, he felt guilty, didn't he? Moses did. Every time when God told Moses to do something, he said, I'm not able to do it. Can't do it. So God said, who made your mouth? Whatever. Peter one time was he said, I'm a sinful man, Brother John.
We'll be looking upon Jesus.
That's right. We'll be looking upon Jesus. Yeah. That's God. That's the physical manifestation of God is Jesus. You're not going to see any other God. All the glory of God will come from Him. You are triune. Why, here's a young lady and a young man sitting right there. Both of you are three in one. I can see your physical persons. I can recognize you. I see that. But you also have a soul and you have a spirit to give you life. Now, those are entities that are there. I guarantee you, the spirit's not there. That body's going to be dead. And if the soul is gone, I don't care what they do with it, it's just going to be laying there. That's all. All right? And it said, the name of him shall be upon their foreheads. In ancient times, all the slaves were branded with the name of the owner. Many times they're branding them on their foreheads. It's not, this brand is not going to be a bad brand. This is going to be a beauty mark. He is our owner. He has redeemed us. Paul said that he was a doulos. That he was a doulos. That he was a servant of the Lord. That he was a slave. Doulos, it means a bound one. One that is bound. One that's actually, it comes to, it, one that is chained. Why do you give? Why do you serve the Lord? Why are you here tonight? Because you have a chain that's unbreakable between your heart and God. That's it. That's an unbreakable chain. And God, that's His ownership with your spirit. All right? 22 and verse 5, Brother David.
There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. The Lord gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever.
Oh, they shall reign forever and ever. Look at that word. With Him, and they shall reign, ace ton aeonos ton aeonon. Unto the ages of 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 the ages is what it means. It just keeps on repeating itself. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. This is about as eternal as you can describe something. They shall reign. Zechariah 14, Isaiah 60 and verse 19, Daniel 7, 18 and 27, Matthew 19, 28, Romans 5 and 17. These are all cross references to this verse. Okay? 22 and verse 6. 22 and verse 6. Here we kind of have a parenthetical verse. Brother John?
And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel he shows to his bondservant the things which must surely take place.
All right, now we're jumping back. Right, we were in the eternal ages. We were way out here in the eternal future where there's no more curse anymore, no nothing. And then we look back in space and time to where John was living. Okay, zip, back over here into the church age. All right. And he said to me, these ones are the words faithful and true. And the Lord the God, Jehovah Elohim, all right, of all the spirits of the prophets that he sent, and the messenger of him, the word angel or the messenger, okay, angel is a messenger, all right, malek is the term in Hebrew, angelos, and we get our word angelos right out of the Greek word, messenger. He pointed out to the slaves of him, to the servants. Remember what I told you about where our hearts are tied to him? We are slaves. We are servants to him because he bought us. We're bought and paid for by his blood. There's a whole bunch of people out here in the world that aren't, they're just wandering. They're not bought and paid for people. I'd rather be bought and paid for. The slaves of him, which things it is binding necessary to come to pass in a short while. Toxe. We get a word, English word out of that word, toxe. Guess what he is? If you want to go someplace in a hurry, you holler for a taxi, don't you? That's it. Holler for a taxi. 22 and verse 7, this young lady right there. 22:7. Yeah.
7. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book.
All right. I'm coming quickly. Now, the word quickly there means what? Brother John, you got any idea about that?
Suddenly.
All of a sudden, it's going to happen. We think about it, we talk about the coming of the Lord, and we're looking forward to it. I have been teaching about Revelation for 40 years. 40 years ago, I thought the Lord was coming back real soon. I knew He was coming back suddenly, but I thought it was soon then. That was 4 decades ago. And I've seen a whole lot of prophecy take place in the middle of that 40 years. I'm telling you, in the last 40 years. Just think about so many people. Back before Israel became a nation again, why, people, so much of the Protestant world didn't ever expect God to even turn back to Israel. But the Bible said that Israel would be dispersed and He would gather it back again in the last days. And evidently we live in the last days because Israel is being regathered still. Okay? I talked to a guy on the radio yesterday for a little while. His name's Mordecai. All right, named Mordecai. He's a Jew, but he's a saved Jew. And he was on there testifying to other Jews. And they were out there arguing with him a little bit. And he told him, he said, "You go to the synagogue." He said, "Yeah, I go to the synagogue. Do you celebrate Yom Kippur?" "Yeah, well, I do too." The Day of Atonement. The only problem is, my Day of Atonement has already come. I don't ever have to be forgiven again. I don't ever have to bring sins to my HaMashiach ever again, because I found Him. And he said, "You're looking for the Messiah to come." And he said, "Oh yeah, real soon." Well, he says, "Mine already came. But He's coming back again." Alright? But He says He's going to come back again. Alright. Written in this book, the prophecy of this scroll. Alright? Now, of course, there's other scrolls. What other books are eschatological in the Bible? In the Old Testament. Ezekiel, Daniel. Even Isaiah. All right? Many, in some ways, even the first, what's the oldest book in the Bible? What was that? Job. It talks about things and the Lord coming back and the resurrection, all of that. We have many books in the Bible. The first New Testament books, Matthew has got a lot of eschatology in it, doesn't it? How about the book of Jude? 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. All right? Those are books that are eschatological. Of course, this book of Revelation especially. Okay? 22 and verse 8. David, are you over there?
"Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard, and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things.
All right. He fell down, John fell down right at the foot of the messenger that showed him these things, that pointed these things out to him. And let's find out what happened. 22 and verse 9 over there, Andrea.
But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets and all who keep the words of this book worship God.
All right. He said, and he said to me, Adrian read that I am a fellow servant. Are you a fellow servant of the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Sure you are. That's why you're here. Brother David, you're a fellow servant. I'm a fellow servant. All of you are fellow servants, okay? Now, we don't worship each other. We worship the Lord. We can kind of build each other up, can't we? We can encourage each other. We can teach each other. We can be an example to each other. And he said, I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brothers and of the prophets and the ones guarding the words. Look at that word, words. The word keeping there means guarding. That's to guard. Okay? Terrain. The Lord in Matthew 28:18-20, he said, as you're going out into the world, make disciples. That's the command there is not go, because they were going to go, because they're going to be scattered. Okay? He said, you're going to be scattered, but after you get scattered out in the world, make disciples. And when you make disciples, when you get a habitual learner, that's what a mathetes is, a disciple is. Okay? When you get a mathetes, a habitual learner, you dip them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then it says, teaching them to guard all things. The Lord's churches were the guardians of the faith. The book of Jude says, the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. All right, we worship God according to the book. 22 and verse 10, one of you young ladies up here, you want to write that, read that for me?
And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.
All right. He said, don't seal up the words of the prophecies of this book. Daniel, he told him to seal it up. He told different prophets to seal them up. But this one, he said, don't do it. Leave it out there for everybody to see. The prophecy of the words of this book. There is a season, the Kairos. Kairos. There is a season. For this is the season. The season is near. It keeps on being, is what it says. The season keeps on being near. All right? 22 and verse 11, Shirley.
He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still.
If the Word of God is ineffectual in saving men's souls, nothing else is going to do it. As simple as that. Luke, the 16th chapter, there was a guy there, he was looking out of hell. And he said, I beg you to send someone to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Warn them lest they come to this horrible place. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they do not listen to Moses and to the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. In Acts 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. Almost you persuade me to become a Christian. It says, when the axe is laid to the tree and the way it falls, let it be. Well, the Catholics will try to pray you out of purgatory. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you, the way you fall, the way you die is the way you're going to be. There is no second chance over there. There is nothing else. All right? Nothing else. 22 and verse 12. 22 and verse 12. John, you want to read that?
Behold, I am coming quickly. and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done.
All right. Behold, I come suddenly. That word toxi, that's suddenly. And the wages of me, with me I will disperse to each as the works of him. Now remember, those in hell are going to be judged strictly on their works. Hell is going to be a place of judgment. Those in hell will be judged. And they will be judged and put in more tolerable places and terrible places according to what they've done in this world. There are some good lost people, so they're going to be in a more tolerable place in hell, but I don't want to be... I mean, can you imagine being in hell? That's file 13 of the human race. That's the garbage pit. All right? You don't want to be there at all. And verse 13. Young lady, you want to do that one?
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
All right. I am Alpha and Omega. I am Aleph and I am Tau. I am the first and I am the last, is what he said. Now here is we have John 1 and 1. We have Genesis 1 and 1. We have John 1:14, the word Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. That's what it's talking about. We could go and have a whole sermon on this verse right here. But we've already studied. We know that Jesus is Jehovah. Simple as that. Plain. That's who he is. Okay? We've accepted that by this time in the book of Revelation. All right. 22 and verse 14. Serena, you want to do that one?
Blessed are those who walk the road, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city.
All right. How do you wash your robes? How do you wash your robes? You wash your robes by the blood of Jesus. You think blood stains things, but Jesus' blood whitens things. It whitens things. That's the best bleach in the whole universe, is the blood of Jesus Christ. All right?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. We think about blood as being dirty. I mean, when you get something bloody, you immediately go and put it in cold water and try to wash the blood out of it. You don't want to set it in there and put it in hot water or whatever. I think you have to wash it out to get the blood out of it. Okay? But Jesus' blood does not stain. Jesus' blood washes and cleanses. All right? Blessed and happy is the one washing the blood of them, or they shall have authority over the tree of life. Have authority to take from it the tree of life. All right? And go in and out of the city. You may enter and go in and out of the city. And 22 and verse 15 now, Shirley. Let's look at that one.
But outside are dogs.
All right. And outside of the city, actually in hell, outside of the presence of God, are dogs. Canes. We get the word canine from this now. Canine. Dogs? There aren't any dogs in heaven? What in the world is it talking about? Well, now, I have to be straight with you about this. These are male prostitutes. They are homosexuals. Men. All right? They are supported by some other man. As simple as that. Why, your homosexuality, your male homosexual world that it's talking about, some man supporting some other man all the time. This is the one that gets supported. This is the prostitute. That's what it's talking about. This is not a dog. This is a dog was the term they use for these male prostitutes. Okay? That's what the word dog is. And the ones pharmakoi, all right? And the ones drug addicts and drug sellers and drug dealers. And the ones fornicators. There's another word for prostitute there also. This one is talking about the male homosexual prostitutes up here. These are the inhabitants of hell. Can a homosexual be saved?
No.
Well, sure. Sure they can, but they're no longer that. Can a drug addict be saved? Sure, they can be saved. All these people can be saved. But they are not that anymore because God gives them the power over it. The fornicators and the ones murderers. All right, murderers. There are people that like to kill. I went to a class here a couple of weeks ago. I work with the sheriff's office, and I have a concealed weapon permit, and I've carried a gun a lot of times, almost all of my adult life since I was 21 years old. And I have to go every 2 years and take a shooting class, and actually it's what it is tells you safe ways and who you can shoot and who you can't shoot and what to do, you know, when you get in a problem. Well, I went into this one class, and this one covered 30 states. And this was mercenaries, armed guards, bodyguards, all kinds of different security officers and everything. And in this bunch of security officers, I saw some of these murderers. And you'd be surprised who some of them were. Some of them were in Desert Storm. Some of them were in Iraq. They retire out of there and they can't quit. They can't leave that life behind. They love the adrenaline rush of being almost near death and killing. And these people, I just sat back and listened to some of them. This is absolute. Some people are gambling addicts. Some people are drunks. And some people love the danger of being near death. When my father came back from World War II, they talk about post-traumatic stress and they talk about coming back. He never readjusted the life. When he came back, he was still doing the same thing he was doing overseas, shooting and killing. When he came back here, he was killed in 1949 robbing a store. Here was a war hero. Patton's driver, but a killer. All right? A thief. This happens to people. There are people like this. Can God save them? Sure He can. They don't want to kill the people anymore. But there are a lot of them out there. Have you seen these type of people? They go over, sometimes they get over in these war zones. They talk about people of mine. I had a friend up in the Fish Lake Valley. And he was a CIA agent. He was a hitman for the CIA. He killed people. That's what he did. That man, when he had a bank account, a Swiss bank account, he got that money, and when he got through murdering these people that he murdered in different places in the world, he would go drink it and spend it all being drunk. He'd get back home and think about all the people he murdered. He had a conscience. Some of them thrive on that. All right? They thrive on this. Idolatry. That's false religion, people. Idolatry. Brother John. Yeah.
In Deuteronomy 23:18.
You want to read that?
You shall not bring the hire of a harlot or the wages of a dog into the house of the Lord your God.
All right, the wages of the dog is talking a male prostitute.
And in Leviticus,
they kill each other today, you know that? I mean, they're some of the most male prostitute. It goes all the way back. Yeah.
Where was it, Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy 23:18 is what you have?
18.
Yeah.
And Leviticus 18:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination.
All right. That's male prostitutes. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about dogs. It's talking about male prostitutes, okay? All right. Murderers. Those that love killing. My grandfather, Sam Paul, was killed 17 men. For a long time, he could not hardly stay in his home. If he thought that there was an outlaw out there or something, he just had to have the thrill of walking into a dangerous place. One time he came upon these outlaws, these horse thieves, and came up to their house and said, "I'm Sam Paul, come out with your hands up." And they said, "No, you come in." He said, "Boys, wait right here." He just walked right in that house. Because he loved the thrill. He'd walk and look death right in the face. By the way, 2 weeks from now, my cousins are the Pauls are going to come out here and be with us in Sunday morning, Sunday night classes. So they'll be here, the ones that wrote the book, Shadow of an Indian Star, about my grandfather. Brother John, you read that bloody book, didn't you? Yep, there's in the book. All right. All right, idolaters, that's false religion. False religion's not going to make it there. There aren't going to be any Buddhists there. There are not going to be any Muslims there. All these people now, they're just not going to make it. Okay? They're not going to be there. Jehovah Witnesses, they have a religion. But it is a religion that locks them away from the Messiah. It doesn't bring them to it. And it says, and everyone loving constantly and making loving to lie. Habitual liars. All right? Liars. And then look what 22 and verse 16 says. Young man, you want to read that for me? 22 and verse 16. That's a good one for you.
I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches.
All right.
Go ahead. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star.
All right, here we go. And Jesus is identifying himself again. I, Jesus, I have sent the messenger of me to witness to ye these things over the churches. The churches in this church age, the churches here are the messengers. The true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are the bona fide, authorized ministers in His kingdom. All right? These are the administrators. And I am the root. Jesus rose from where? Nazareth. That word comes, Nazareth means root. All right? Nazareth means root. All right? And the offspring of David. He was of David. All right? We're going to study the book of Ruth pretty soon on Sunday morning. We find out the book of Ruth. Ruth was married to Boaz. All right? Ruth was married to Boaz. I thank my God that Rahab the harlot and Ruth the Moabitess are in it, because that means us Gentiles are in also. He's a kinsman redeemer to us too, isn't he? Isn't he a kinsman? He's a kinsman redeemer to us old Gentiles. All right? The offspring of David, the star, the bright and the morning star. All right? 22 and verse 17. We're getting toward the end now. Let's clip along here. You want to read on there? You want to read?
The Spirit yeah. and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.
All right. The Spirit and the bride say, come. All right. I guarantee you one thing. Any message of God that's preached is going to take the Spirit of God to save anybody. Because the words of that message is not going to save anybody. Number 18, Brother David.
Well, I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him plagues that are written in this book.
All right. Now, how in the world do you do this? We're talking about this book. We're talking about basically the book of Revelation, but it is the crown and glory of the whole Bible to it. That's the finishing book. Primarily, it's talking about the book of Revelation. Don't add or take from the book of Revelation. Okay, don't do that. All right, or the Bible. Now, is the old Hitler, he had Mein Kampf. That was his Bible. All right? We have the Muslim Quran. We have the Buddhist writings. We have all of the different things of different writings of different groups, don't we? We have. Now, is that adding to the Bible? Yeah, it is. It's adding to the Word of God. All right, so we don't want that. We don't want the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is leading millions of people to hell. The writings of the Jehovah Witness are leading millions of people to hell. In the world today, they added all of this. All right, even the Catholic Church, the dogmas and the canons of Catholic Scriptures, so-called, are leading people astray. Now, have they committed this terrible sin? Will God in the end finally condemn them and add the plagues upon them? All right, the things having been written in this book. Number 19 now. Number 19. Brother John.
And if anyone takes away from the words of the take away his part from the city of God and bring the holy city that's written in this book.
All right. Now, if anyone takes away, all right, anything. Now, you know that half of the Protestant world won't even accept the book of Revelation as what we call futuristic. They won't. John Calvin wouldn't accept this at all. Even Augustine, one of the early Catholic Church fathers, would not accept the book of Revelation. This is all spiritualized stuff. The Lutheran Church, basically, when you talk about eschatology, they don't have any. Okay? Fair as that. If anyone may take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, take away from God out of his part from the tree of life and out of the city, the holy city, having been written in the book this. All right. We're almost to the end now. We're going to make it.
Does that mean that they won't be dead if they take something away?
It just means if you get real dogmatic about the book of Revelation and the Messiah and all of this stuff, you can totally go off in the wrong. The Seventh-day Adventist, what is their whole propaganda machine? Eschatology. But it's the wrong eschatology. That's the whole. Seventh-day Adventist, where did the Jehovah Witness come from? It's a Seventh-day Adventist offshoot. Where did Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God come from? The millennial dawnist and this whole interpretation of Revelation. This is where all these people came. Every one of those cults came from that source. All right, verse number 20, Brother David.
He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen.
All right.
So come, Lord Jesus.
All right. And he says, the one witnessing these things, yes. I come quickly, Toxie. I come suddenly. The Lord is going to come suddenly. The Lord could come tonight before we get out of this classroom. We could. This is what we call the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the imminent return. I was reading a magazine one time called The Midnight Cry. And it was by what they call New Lighters, put this thing out, and they did not believe in they believed that everybody's going to go through the tribulation period. And the Lord is going to come over here someplace. We had to go all through the tribulation period. That was what they believed. And I wrote back a letter to him, and I told him, I said, you don't believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. The guy wrote back and published in his article, he said, one pastor let me know that we didn't believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And he said, I always thought that we believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, but he said, we don't. We don't. He's not going to come suddenly. All these things have to happen. What has to take place before the Lord comes back today? Nothing that I can tell. He can come back suddenly. The last verse. You want to read that? The last verse in the book of Revelation.
The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
All right. The grace of the Lord Jesus with all. You know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to save every man in this world. And it's a stinking crying shame that they don't come to Him. It's sufficient. But I guarantee you, we're not like universalist Unitarians or something like that. There's somebody that's messed up theologically too. They believe that Jesus Christ died for all man, and whether they want it or not, they're going to get to go to heaven. Because His blood covers all man. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and His sacrifice is sufficient for every man that ever lived. But I guarantee you, not one bit of that blood is going to be applied to somebody that didn't repent and call upon the name of the Lord. You have to want that. You have to be called. God, it says, calls all men. But some don't come. We looked at a while ago that some wouldn't come. Some wouldn't come. Some wouldn't be in the city. There's going to be a lot of people on the outside. Is there good people that are going to be in hell? Sure there are. I've known some good people that died and left this world without the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be in hell. And I really, that's sad. That's
from
that.
From our viewpoint.
Yeah. But God's viewpoint, they're murderers. They're murderers. They have wasted the blood of His Son. Sadness. It ought to make us sad when we see somebody die and go to hell. Somebody that's in a false religious system that you try to get out of the system. I have seen people in Jehovah's Witnesses. I have loved those people. I have tried. I have sought them. I've tried to drag them out of the system. Some come. I mean, it's possible. It's a miracle of God every time it happens. But you see them, and you see them die and go into a devil's hell, and they don't have to. Every inch of the way, people have to reject God. How many times does God's Spirit convict somebody and they keep on rejecting it until finally it's once and for all and too late? However, it says when they die, whatever they are, filthy, unclean, when they die, the way they die, that's the way they stay. You don't have another chance over here. Over there in the clear yonder, there's no more chances. Yes, young lady.
I would like to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that when you accept the Lord, that we must have been an abomination or something like that.
Do what now?
Doesn't the Bible say that once you accept the Lord, that you are always with the Lord?
Yeah, you're always with Him. Once you're saved, you're saved forever.
But I'm aware of a situation where they are now doing things that are an abomination to God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, everything that we do in this life, we're going to pay for right now. Do you think you can sin and get by with it? If you're a child of God? If you're a devil's child, you can just go on flopping around through life and be okay. But if you're God's child, the book of Hebrews says what? If you're God's child and you sin, what happens to you? He's going to beat the tar out of you. Now the proof that you're not saved is not God doesn't bother you. He only whips His own. How could God... can you go out and do anything that any lost person can do? Well, I can guarantee you can. But you can't do it comfortably. If you're a saved child of God, you can't go out and do the things that the world... because there's something there that is going to drive you crazy. It's going to pester you. God's not going to let you rest at night. You'll never have a clean conscience, and not only that, you're going to pay for it. Now. Yeah. Well, God is long-suffering. They just nominated. What is the date today?
The
27th. All right. How do you know that you're saved? John, in his 1 John, these things, little children, I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. What is that? Conviction of the Spirit of God. If somebody went through the motions, I'm going to tell you something, people. There is an easy believism in the world today. That is no good. As far as I'm concerned, I'm one of them old hellfire and damnation preachers. And I said, you know, when I go up there to baptize somebody in the baptistry up there, I said, have you repented of your sins and call upon the Lord? Yeah, repented of my sins. You know, like, woo, you know, like this. Yeah. Because it's very important. You can go up there and just get wet. That's all. Don't mean nothing. Just get wet. That's right. Boyfriend and girlfriend religion. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Young lady, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody, they want this girl or this boy, and they'll go to their church, and they'll go forward, they'll go down there, kneel down, do all this kind of stuff, and they'll be baptized and all of that. I hate people so bad tonight. And they'll join the church and everything else, and then when they get them finally and they get married, they just go back to what they were doing. Now, that doesn't work. That's what we call boyfriend and girlfriend religion. Whatever it is. I knew a guy came to church one time when I was pastoring, and he come up to me and he said, Jim, he said, I've got this business. And he says, Right now it's real popular to put a Jesus sign, a fish, on your business if you're a Christian. He said, I'd like to join this church, and I'll give to the church and everything else, but he said, I'm going to believe. He said, I don't really believe in God. So he told me, I don't really believe in God. But he said, I want to be able to put that fish on my business card. And I said, fella. Now, he was always messing with me. Spiritually messing with me. Always messing with me. And I told him, I said, you know something? I said, I don't think that you're ever going to be saved. I think you're not down, written down in God's book of life. I said, I don't think there's any hope for you. What? I said, I think you're out. But what does the Bible say about people that use religion for... Some of the Jews did that, didn't they? Sure they did. There are people that do that. They go to church so they can be pillars of the community. Do well. Well, thank you for sticking with me. Some of you stuck all the way through the book of Revelation and we're finished with it. Next week we're going to do the book of Genesis.
Thank you.
Well, I loved it. I enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to get through it all the way tonight, but we did. And it's been a wonderful study. The last time I went through this, I think it was in 2001, when I went through this all the way. I did 96 classes on it. I only did, I don't remember how many I did now, but 40, I think, or 30-something is what we did. We went through it a lot quicker this time. Last time we wanted word verse. We read every verse in Greek. Instead of me doing like I did, I just commented on it in Greek this time, which I think was better than the first time. And I tried to cover the good points. Brother John, do you have any questions or comments? I appreciate your... He's a theologian sitting right back there. I appreciate you, brother.
You use that term very loosely.
Well, I got an idea of what you've studied. All right. There's a lot of people that like to be thought of as a theologian, and there are theologians. And there's one that's quiet about it. Just quiet about it. Brother Dave, do you have any questions or anything?
Speechless.
Well, now it'll give you a reason to go out. You've studied the book of Revelation with us. Go out and tell it.